Bristol.
This is Noam Short.
And you're listening to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast. Well, Noam, another week's gone by. 1 point from five games, 29th place in the Supporters Shield standings. And I thought this week we could go and take a look at some of the statistics behind the numbers and see if we can figure out what's going on with this team.
That sounds like a plan. I'm just thankful that I could switch out my tickets for another game and didn't sit in the driving rain for a 1-1 tie with Chicago.
Right. Brutal result in what's supposed to be one of the easier games on the slate. So the Revs, just 4 goals in 5 games, giving up 11. But maybe some reason for optimism here. If you look at expected goals, shots on target, expected goals, Revs are kind of mid-table. They have just under 8 goals expected from 5 games. Shots and shots on target, they're actually much better. They're 7th in the league in shots and 7th in shots on target, which surprised me because it doesn't feel like they're generating a lot of shots. But could it be that they're just not converting chances that they're getting?
Yeah, these statistics, we talked about it a little bit in the last episode. I question the quality of some of them, like the expected goals, for example. So they had over 2 expected goals, I think, against the Chicago game, something like that. And what use is that statistic when in the final third they can't connect their passes and even get a cross into the play for a shot? And that's interesting about them being sort of in the upper tier of the league in terms of shots on target. Against Chicago, they had no shots, at least in the first 30 minutes. I forget when they got their first shot, but it certainly wasn't in the first half hour. Against Chicago, one of the other sort of, you know, bottom feeders in the league at this point. And there was another game, too, where the Revs just didn't have a lot of shots or at all for a while. Like I mentioned, at the stadium now, they're putting total shots rather than shots on goal up on the scoreboard.
Right.
This team is not threatening other teams right now. They're scoring at most 1 goal.
Right, and the possession seems very pedestrian. They're knocking the ball between the center backs and the fullbacks, and they're not finding Carlos Hill with the ball. And then we talked about this a little bit, and there was definitely ample evidence of this in the game this weekend, where when the Revs get turned over, the other team has been almost lethal in attack and scoring a goal. When the Revs get a turnover, and this happened a couple of times deep in Chicago's end, they couldn't even get a shot off. I mean, they couldn't even get a cross off half the
right
time. So something seems wrong.
Exactly.
With whether it's the interplay of the different players, many of whom have been together for a while. Even Veroni's been here now. I think this is his third season or you know, second season, maybe there's a half season in there or something. So it's getting hard to explain.
It is challenging to explain. There was a sequence during the game yesterday. I noted down, there was a really nice give and go sequence. I wrote down a triple give and go. I think there was several really quick passes in succession,
right,
that in a tight area along the side of the field. But then there was a misplay at the end of that play, led to nothing. There was a Carlos Hill pass that to Chankalai that went behind Chankalai, so that was the end of that play. Farrell had a ball up the field, but it hit Chankalai in the back of the head. That was the end of that play. and then Polster also gave the ball away. That was 4 possessions in a row. The Revs had gotten the ball back. This was, I forget if Chicago had scored at this point, but the Revs had gotten the ball back, you know, controlling the midfield at that point. And it leads to absolutely nothing.
Right, right. Yeah, and then if you flip it around, just taking a look at some of the defensive stats, the Revs are 2nd to last in goalkeeper save percentage. So Revs goalies only saving 52% of shots that come in. The only team worse is Colorado, saving 46.7, so less than half of shots coming in. But some of them are not the goal. Some of them are obvious goalkeeper errors, but a lot of them are not. You know, I think that first goal Chicago had, you know, they basically had a a 4-on-2 and Farrell was left defending two guys on the far post, and it was just too easy. I mean, there was almost nothing that Earl Edwards could do to try to come up with a save.
Yeah, that was not savable, and where was the defense on that play? Right. And so as we note these challenges in connecting the ball, it's not like the players aren't aware of this. I think there were some interesting dynamics on the field, especially after going down a goal and the Revs continuing to give the ball away. There was one situation where Chonkalai, I think he was asked to move to the other side of the field, but when he got there, he just was clearly demonstrating how unhappy he was and ripped off his gloves, threw them on the ground on the sideline next to the bench. You could tell something was up, and I just had this feeling of, wow, is a team, is this where we see the team really fall apart? And credit to the team, they kept it together and ended up tying the game in the first half. But something was going on there. The team is not connecting in the way that they need to. And I'm not sure that it's visible in the statistics.
Yeah, that's true. Something is not showing up in the stats. And we've already seen through five games, you've had the coach a couple of times has said maybe the team needs to find another gear, that other teams seem to be able to raise their level at least for a few moments every game and find that winning moment. He's also suggested that stuff that says like they almost need to try harder, and it's an odd comment. One of the things we were looking forward to coming into this season is Caleb Porter is a veteran coach. The Revs are by and large a veteran team with a couple of standout right. young players, but by and large veterans. And we thought, okay, maybe this will be a breath of fresh air after a very messy 2023 season.
Right.
And I think the fans were ready for a little bit of a transition period as they get used to playing a new style, but they really haven't been competitive, and it's been hard to pick up what that new style is just from watching these games.
Right. Yeah, Coach Porter made a point after last week's game about mentality and that the team didn't really pick up their play until the second half, which showed that they can if they want to. And he was sort of insinuating they weren't really, you know, taking the game in stride the way that they should or could. And I felt yesterday they did play with more pressure initially and more velocity, more speed. But the team is still giving away the ball, you know, possession after possession, or it's not leading to a good quality shot, or it's not even leading to a cross. And where is that, to your point, where is the style of play? And you would think that with a veteran team, with the players that we do have, that that would be a natural transition into whatever style that I think would be part of the team, you know, both the players and the coach coming together. But certainly we're not seeing the kind of control and the kind of passing and teamwork that Coach Porter has been talking about in terms of it's how it's being played on the field that leads to something.
Yeah, and it's interesting because not only is it a new coach, but it's early in the season, and we've been watching MLS for almost 20 years, and I have to say the level of play is usually much poorer at the start of the season. Teams tend to play themselves into shape as the season goes on, and the Revs have talked about, well, we haven't been able to train because we've had all these midweek Champions League games, so we haven't had a chance to really implement the new system. But they had training camp for, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks before the season started. So, you know, what was going on there? It just seems like there's been a lot of excuses for a veteran team that should be doing better. The stats say maybe they will do better as more of these goals start to go in, but who's going to score them?
Right. And I can see a point in terms of the early season schedule at the very beginning, playing two games a week and travel across continents. I think that is challenging to start off a season like that. So we'll give them a little bit of a break perhaps on that. But for this Chicago game, they had the entire week. And yes, it was really crappy weather on Saturday, but both teams were playing in those conditions. And I didn't get the sense that the Revs were really any better than Chicago. And maybe Chicago's gotten better. But given a week, given that this was a really a must-win game, where the Revs are in the standings and they're at the bottom of the supporter shield, the results of that week of training, like what were they?
Right, right. And this was, you know, pretty much the easy part of the schedule. Cincinnati obviously is in first, but, you know, Toronto's halfway down the table, and then Atlanta, DC, and Chicago are almost as bad off as the Revs this early in the season. So they're going to have to find a way to pick up some points as the season really gets cooking here in the next few weeks.
Even the commentators were getting on in the act of what's happening, what are the other factors impacting the Revs. So early in the discussion, I was listening to the local broadcast of the Revs game, this time with Brad Feldman. They were talking about how the basically the new turf, the grass, was too tall. they had to bring in rollers, which I've never heard of. And remember, this is artificial turf we're right. talking about. It usually looks like a doormat and has none of the quality or spring or softness that a player would like to have in a nice grass field. Yet the grass was too tall, and they basically had to mow it by taking some big rollers, I guess, and just rolling over the turf to flatten it. And last week, I remember too, they were watering the field, and they watered the field so much that the ball was actually being held up by puddles of standing water in the turf. So that didn't work. So like they resorted to flattening this brand new turf field, which had probably lifelike grass, is now supposedly playing faster, and with the rain, of course, that should have been faster for the Revs. So, you know, if it's not the travel schedule, then it's the turf. The other factor this week too, and this has been unfortunate, I think, for a lot of games and for a lot of teams, is the MLS referees are on strike right now, and or a lockout, and so there have been replacement referees, and this game had some pretty poor calls, if you want to put it mildly, to the point where Brad Feldman was approaching Johnny Most territory. If anyone remembers listening to Celtics broadcast back in the day, when he got angry about another player or referee, he didn't hold back, and I felt Feldman was, you could just sense the blood pressure starting to rise with the way things were going in the game. But again, it's for both teams, and it's for everyone in the league right now, and the Revs have to find a way to keep right. on playing.
It does create a dangerous situation out there. I mean, I think the one passage that got everyone especially fired up near the end was when there was an obvious foul on Carlos Heel and then no call. And then Ryan Spalding on the other end for the Revs just cleaned out a Chicago player, and there was no call. And you say, well, that's a makeup call, fine. But when the ref loses control of the game, that's when you really risk somebody getting hurt in a serious way, because they're professional players, right. and they know what they can and can't get away with out there. And it's a very delicate balance to call the game. So they need to get the real refs back. It's a little ridiculous. I think Caleb Porter tried to finesse in his answer this week, it's not an excuse, but it's not helping.
Maybe one last point that I thought was interesting was Caleb Porter, the first sub that he made was a defensive sub, subbing out Farrell for Spalding, who mm-hmm. you just mentioned. And I thought that was interesting. Usually you don't see the defensive line changing up during the middle of a game. But adding Spalding did add a different kind of energy on the side, sort of like someone like Jones can bring the ball up a little bit faster and further. And he had some success doing that. I'd like to see Spalding take a shot or two next time. But I thought that was an interesting first step. And when you think about Caleb Porter talking about controlling the game and playing out of the back, it seems like he's looking for players that can really move the ball up and down the field end to end, more so than the kind of the classic defensive shape that they might have had in right. the past.
Yeah, so to maybe just end on a positive note, Spalding had a good game. Nacho Heel has had a very good season so far, kind of lost in the team's results, but
he scored
on Saturday. Yep. So there have been some things that are moving in the right direction, but we'll have to see. Revs are off this week, and then the big first leg of the Champions League, hosting Club America on April 2nd, in the middle of the night, basically. A home game in the middle of the night, 9 p.m. kickoff.
All right. Well, looking forward to that one. Thanks, Eric, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Last Team on Turf, a New England Revolution fan podcast with Eric Warriston and Noam Shore. We hope you enjoyed the show and can't wait to hear from you. The show was hosted, produced, and edited by Eric Warista and Noam Shore, and all opinions expressed are their own. Incidental music written, arranged, and performed by Eric Warista. Rev's crowd clips appear courtesy of the New England Revolution.